This is LaSere Brady Jr. welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. I know you may get tired of me talking about this, but it's just a fact that if we're going to keep this program on the air, we need to hear from our listeners. It is listener-supported. So I encourage you, if you can help us at this time, the financial need is very great. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. We begin a message today on sinking in the mire. Now, that might sound like a strange expression to some people, but it's a biblical one. You can hear people out in the world say something like, well, I'm at my wit's end, and that's biblical also. But that's what this expression is all about, just reaching the place that no matter how hard I try to get out of the miry clay and put one step ahead of the other, I keep sinking down. If you've had some experience with those feelings, I trust that the message today will be a help to you. David uses some very interesting and vivid terminology as he describes his own experience, and that which is no doubt the experience of many of the Lord's people. He once said, I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. I'm like the owl of the desert, like the pelican of the wilderness. Now, if you tried to describe your situation in those terms today, a person who was unacquainted with the scripture would think you had slipped off the deep end. What on earth is wrong with that person? But they paint a picture. They describe for us very well where we are in some of our travels. I want us to look at one today in Psalm 69, reading verses 1 to 3. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. And then verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Sinking in the mire. William Gadsby, an English preacher, wrote in his journal of an experience being at one time by the River Nile. And a man jumped from a boat attempting to get on the shore and jumped into this type of mud designated as mire, or as we might better know it, as quicksand. And he said, I saw him begin to sink. The man struggled, but it was impossible for him to deliver himself. He said, I was horrified to watch him going deeper and deeper and deeper. And he was in clear up to his chest when finally two men on the boat were able to extend help and rescue him before he would have been swallowed up and die. Now that's what we find here that was no doubt in David's mind when he said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Can't get my feet on anything that's solid. They say when you're in the mire or in the quicksand that the more you struggle, the more rapidly you go down. So from a spiritual standpoint, what does it mean? What's it mean to us?
Now, there are portions of this psalm that are messianic, and there are several references in the New Testament to direct quotes from this psalm. So there are some things that pertain to our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're going to look at it from a practical standpoint. Just as David struggled with this situation, how is it with us? What do we mean? Well, first of all, it might be said that you're sinking in the mire when you're discouraged. You might be troubled over conditions worldwide and the changing of circumstances in our own country to the point that you become depressed. Indeed, there's a lot of depressing news that we're confronted with in this day and time. And then you read about the violence the world over, about Christians that are being put to death, imprisoned, persecuted. You say, how long could it be before we face some of that in our own country? Already it is evident that there is a growing hatred for Christianity, even in America. Now, if you spend a lot of time reading materials pertaining to these difficulties, or looking at the news, or particularly if you follow some of those that go a step beyond and talk about all of the conspiracies which are supposedly afoot, and I've seen people become so consumed with their interest in those conspiracies that they lost sight of every truth they had one time professed to believe. So you might be sinking in the mire because you say, I'm fearful. I don't know what the future holds. Can't imagine what life's going to be like down the road. Even if I pass off the scene, what's going to happen to my children or my grandchildren? Or there may be troubles at work. It's easy to get depressed if you're having problems every day. You work with difficult people. You have a boss that's impossible and unreasonable. You say, I'm sinking in the mire. I don't know how much more of this I can take. It may be that the job has brought about financial problems. Just seems that you can't be properly compensated. Man talked to me on the phone this week. Said, I just got notice that my pension is going to be cut in half. Said, my wife is greatly troubled. I know God's seen us through in the past. I don't know how we're going to make it, but I know he'll help us. But here's a woman who is very disturbed, and we can understand why such news would be disturbing. In some cases, it's marital problems. Problems go on week after week, month after month, year after year. People stay together, at least with the hope that it's going to sometime get better. But often it seems that there's no progress, maybe getting worse rather than better. And a person will say, I'm just at the end of my rope. How much more can I handle? Things are just not right. We can't even communicate. We act like strangers. We act like we don't even know each other. There's no meaningful communication. We just are two individuals living under the same roof. But what marriage ought to be has long since slipped away. Family problems. Somebody says, I just can't believe what I'm encountering with some of the attitudes of my children. In some cases, they may have been influenced by outside sources. Some cases, the cause may not be readily seen. But troubles within a family, children who become rebellious, make life extremely difficult. Sometimes a mother, particularly one who is trying to homeschool her children, she has to study, she has to prepare the lesson, she's with these children day in and day out. It's a lot of work. I've heard some say, I'm just at my wit's end. I'm just ready to pitch in the towel. So discouragement can be one of the things that would cause us to say, I'm sinking in the mire. A battle with the flesh, with this old corrupt, sinful nature of ours. Even if you have been born again, the old Adam nature is still there. It hasn't been eradicated. You have to deal with it on a daily basis. Sinful thoughts and desires that plague you. Sometimes in counseling with people who have fallen into sin, they will say, I can't believe that I did what I did. Somebody had told me some years ago, I would have come to this place in life, I'd have said, no, I don't think that can happen to me. Well, the thoughts can come before there's action. And a person may be troubled, and rightfully so, if indeed there's persistent evil thoughts coming in your mind. And you may say, I just never imagined that I would even have such thoughts. I'm troubled by it. Spurgeon said, we know little about what lies in our deceitful hearts. Envyings, blasphemies, murders, lust. There is enough in the heart of any man to make a full-grown devil if restraining grace did not prevent it. Now, most people don't have that view of themselves. They think more highly of themselves than they ought. But even the Apostle Paul, a man unusually gifted, a man called to a special work, had to still deal with the flesh. And so in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But he didn't give up in despair. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, the deep trouble that I feel, the conflict that rages. But he said, I thank God there's help through our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to the book of Colossians. Read in chapter 3, beginning with the third verse. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, because positionally you are dead, dead to sin. Now put it into practice. Mortify, which means to kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, what do all of those words mean? Well, it speaks of fornication. That is immorality. Any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman. No matter what the popular trend may be, no matter how people will try to defend it and excuse it, and say if two people really care about each other, or if in fact they hope someday to be married, then surely there's nothing wrong with having that intimate relationship. God says it's a sin. So when a person participates, they are rebelling against God. Fornication, uncleanness, impurity. It begins with evil thoughts. If you find there are evil thoughts plaguing you, you give in to those, you mull them over in your mind, you get a certain pleasure out of thinking about them, you're on dangerous ground. Because evil thoughts lead to evil actions. And then evil concupiscence. It's evil desires, passionate desires, inordinate affection, all of this speaking of lust, forbidden activities. But it begins with thoughts. And there are so many things around you in the world today to stimulate those thoughts. The pictures that are used in advertising, programs on television, the things that are common fare today would have been a violation of FCC standards just a few years ago. Now there's plenty of corruption in us all to be easily stirred, even without outside influence. Jesus said that it's from the heart that corruption arises. But when you see that there are so many things to entice us to think about that which is evil, and our human nature is ready to respond as Satan, our adversary, is seeking to entice us and lead us down the wrong path. And if you're struggling with evil thoughts, with temptations, you might readily say, I sink in the mire. I just feel like I'm about to go down for the count. I don't know how to deal with this. Another thing might be a struggle with unbelief. You may have some doubts about basic truths. Maybe you had grown up believing the Bible, being satisfied that it is God's word. And out of nowhere, there comes a doubt. You begin to question it. How can I be really sure? How can I know that the Bible is authoritative? How can I know that it's God's book? Or it might be some of the specific teachings that are in the book. You have doubts. You begin to have doubts about your own salvation. In fact, that may be connected with some of the evil thoughts that plague you. You say, well, if I'm a child of God, why do I have these thoughts? Why do I have these temptations? I thought that if I was being sanctified, I wouldn't have this kind of trouble. You can begin to sink in the mire, questioning whether you've had a real experience of grace. Or you have doubts about your sins being forgiven. Over and over again in counseling, I've talked to people who've said, I still struggle so much with the guilt of sins that I committed years ago. I've confessed them. By the grace of God, I've overcome them, but they still haunt me. But here's God's promise. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it may be just general afflictions that are pressing you down. Think of the swiftness with which troubles came to Job. Here was a man who was prosperous, a man who was healthy, a man who had everything going for him. And in short order, one messenger follows another to tell him, you've been robbed, the thieves have carried away your flocks and your herds. He's reduced from wealth to having nothing. And then his health is gone. And he has sores all over his body. And his wife comes in disgust and says, why don't you curse God and die? Here's a man that lost everything in short order. Nothing we have in this life is absolutely secure. You may have a good job. You may have a nice place to live. You may have money in the bank. All of that can be swept away quickly under a variety of circumstances. It may be sickness. Sickness that just drags on. A person says, I'm just weary. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of being sick. Sometimes it's the individual that's trying to care for the person that's sick. Say, I'm confined. I can't do anything else but stay here and try to minister to this person. And I want to do it. I love them, but I'm just drained. I feel like I'm sinking in the mire. It may be the loss of a friendship. It may be grief over a friend or a family member that's going astray. How heartbreaking it is to see somebody take the wrong turn in life. Person that seemed for a while to be traveling the right course. Maybe it's the marriage of a relative, a distant family member, or somebody that's close in your family. And you hear they're getting a divorce and you're shocked. I thought they'd be the last people. And you become depressed over it. Now, talking about some of the things wherein we might indeed conclude with all of these troubles, I'm sinking in the mire. Let's think about how we get there. How do we get to that place? How do we get to that place with regard to discouragement? It's proper to be concerned about the conditions that we see prevailing in the world over, and particularly about those in our own country. But that ought to drive us to prayer, not despair. If you become depressed over it, it becomes evident you've forgotten. God is on the throne. God works his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I've had people who wanted me to read vast amounts of literature that talked about all of the conspiracies going on in the world. I say, well, I don't want to spend my time with that. I'm called to preach the gospel, not preach conspiracies. And I said, maybe you need to take account of the fact that God is on the throne. Oh, I know that. I don't want to hear that. Well, you need to hear it. If you're troubled, if you're worried, if you're sinking in the mire, you need to remember God is still in charge. There is no conspiracy that God doesn't know about. Nobody's going to blow up this planet until God's through with it. But you get there when you forget. Troubles at work could be because you're partly responsible. Sometimes it can be a difficult boss. But sometimes you may not have the right spirit and attitude. A lady called me a number of years ago that had listened to our daily broadcast, and she said, Preacher, I heard you preach this morning, and you were talking about what kind of a attitude we're to have at work. And I just want to tell you that I'm in a difficult situation. I was passed over for a promotion. I should have gotten it. I was entitled to it. I deserved it. And I didn't get it. And you could tell she was upset. She said, how do you think I ought to handle it? I said, like a Christian, that you must still be kind and gracious and considerate and respect those in authority. This long pause. She said, I'm afraid I've already blown it. I went in and gave my boss an earful. I said, then your next step is to go back and apologize and admit you were wrong. So you might get depressed at work just because you got the wrong attitude. You're looking around at other people and saying, why do I get all the hard jobs? How is it that I'm not appreciated? And you begin to complain. The scriptures tell us that when we go to work, we're to remember that we're going there as workers for Jesus Christ. And that'll change your whole attitude about the job, the workplace, and everybody that you have to encounter there. You may be depressed over some of your financial conditions, and that might be as a result of the fact you failed to follow biblical principles in the past. You weren't a good steward of what God gave you. Now, some things come on us that we have no control over. Job's losses were not because he was a bad manager. It was within the providence of God that God allowed this trouble to come into Job's life. And it may come to us in like manner. But sometimes it may be because we spent when we didn't have it. We spent our money foolishly. We bought things that were not to the glory of God. We were selfish and greedy. What about family problems? How do you get there? Well, generally, family problems don't flare up overnight. It's something that as a result of long-term activities, long-term failures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." If you get upset, get over it. Get it settled that day before the sun goes down. Don't take it to bed with you. Don't get up mad the next morning. Get over it. People that harbor anger and bitterness, it's a evil thing that springs up and defiles many, the scriptures tell us.
The psalmist described his situation in a unique way. He was sinking in the mire, but he found relief. The Lord brought him out, planted his feet on the rock. And indeed, that's the hope that we have in our troubled times, to find strength and hope in the Lord our God. I encourage you to write us or to visit our website at baptistbiblehour.org. And until we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His good.